Amen. All right, well, we're there in Isaiah 22, and I'd like you to look down at verse number 5, Isaiah 22, and we'll just read verses number 5 through 10 just real quickly. The Bible says, "For it is a day of trouble and of treading down and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and of crying to the mountains. And Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield." I want you to understand what's going on here is that Jerusalem is under attack. And they have an enemy who has surrounded them. If you look at verse 7, "And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate." So they've got a valley full of chariots. They are looking out the gates of the city, and they see horsemen that have set themselves in array. They are basically ready to come in to attack. Look at verse 8. "And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest, and have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and he gathered together the waters of the lower pool." And I want you to notice in verse number 10, it's very interesting what the Bible tells us the children of Jerusalem do. It says, "And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem." And this is what I want to preach about this morning. I want you, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, I'd like you to underline this phrase in your Bible. It says, "And the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall." And the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. See, like I said, Jerusalem was under attack. Jerusalem was under pending battle there. And in order to create an appearance of strength, and in order to create an appearance of security, they began to break down the houses of the city, and they began to take apart the houses, and they began to take apart the wood, and they began to take apart the beams, and they began to take apart the 2x4s and the nails, and they began to destroy the houses, the interior dwellings of the city, in order to build up the exterior wall of the city, because they wanted to put up a facade to the impending military coming in, that their city was strong, and that their city was secure, and that their city was protected. So they began to destroy the interior in order to fortify the exterior. See, it was a facade. Really, a city is not a wall. A city is the houses. A city is the community. A city is the families. A city is the people, the interior dwellings of a city. That's what a city is. A city is not an exterior wall that we put up in order to look like we're secure. A city is the interior dwellings of a city. And the reason I'm bringing this up this morning is because this is an illustration of what a lot of Christians and a lot of churches today, they have decided that it is more important to put up an exterior facade, an exterior wall, and they've built up this wall in order to look like maybe they are stronger than they really are, in order to look like they are more spiritual than they truly are, in order to look like they got some things put together better than they really are, and they've done it at the expense of the interior. They've broken down the interior to build up the exterior. And this morning, I want to preach to you about this subject, about the exterior wall. Because, see, we all have exterior walls this morning. Every single one of us has a wall that we put up, and a face that we show the world, and we try to look nice, and we try to look, I don't think we should all just bear all our faults and all our sin in front of everybody. But listen to me. There is something to be said about the foolishness of building up the exterior at the expense of the interior. Keep your place there in Isaiah 22. That's our text for this morning. But I'd like you to go with me to Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23. While you turn there, I'd like you to write down three statements this morning. If you would do me a favor and write these statements down in your course of the week on the back, you've got a place for sermon notes. And if you need a pen, just raise your hand. We'll bring one to you. And if you have a child on your lap, I understand if you can't take notes. But if you don't have a child on your lap or something like that, please write down these statements. Number one, the exterior does not always reflect the interior. The exterior does not always reflect the interior. Are you there in Matthew 23? I'd like you to look at verse number 25. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." This is the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to the Pharisees. I want you to notice what he said. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make," notice what he says, "for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Jesus said about the Pharisees, he says, when we look at your exterior, when we look at the wall that you put up, when we look at the facade that you've put out for the world to see, we see that it's clean on the outside, but he says, but within, he says, on the inside, you are full of extortion and excess. Notice verse 26, "Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and the outside of them may be clean also." Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." Notice the word, hypocrites, and that's what a hypocrite is. Someone who puts up a show on the outside when the inside doesn't match the outside. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres." He said, you're like a coffin. You ever went to a funeral and you walked by the coffin there, and oftentimes people will pay a lot of money to have a very nice, beautiful coffin, and to have, you know, I've seen coffins that my wife and I went to a funeral one time for a young lady. She was 33 years old, who had passed away, and her favorite color was pink, and they had this beautiful pink coffin, very expensive coffin. Well, I've seen coffins that are nice wooden. I mean, they're nice. And here's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He said, "You're like a sepulcher." He said, "You're like a place where they put a dead body on the outside." Notice what he says. He says, "Woe," verse 27, "woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward." He said, you could go out to the grave today and dig up a bunch of coffins and look at that on the outside and say, that's a beautiful coffin. That's beautiful work that was done. The woodwork is nice, and they did a great job. But notice, he says, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." He said, you look at a sepulcher, you look at a coffin, and you say, that's a beautiful box. That's a beautiful piece of wood there. Somebody took some time. Somebody took some pride. Somebody spent a lot of money to make that look beautiful. But if you crack that thing open, you're probably not going to like what you see. He said, you're like a whited sepulcher, he said, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Look at verse 28. "Even so, ye also," he said, "you outwardly appear," notice, "righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." See, this morning I want you to understand that the exterior does not always reflect the interior. You cannot base, you know, everything off of, well, this person looks like they've got it all put together. And look, let me just explain something to you teenagers, you know, especially you young people as you're going into life. Just because somebody lives in a nice house, just because somebody lives on the nice side of town, just because somebody drives a nice vehicle, doesn't mean they're financially got it all put together. In fact, it may mean that they're just in debt up to their eyeballs. And, you know, just because somebody lives in a nice house, you know, someone might live in a not-so-nice house on a not-so-nice side of town and a not-so-new vehicle and yet financially be stronger than someone, because it's easy to put up a wall. It's easy to put up a facade. It's easy to build up a wall that tells the world, I've got strength, I've got money, I've got security, I'm spiritual, look at me, how I'm so strong. But when we look at the inside, if the outside was built at the expense of the inside, there's no value to that wall. Amen. See, a wall is not a city. A city are the people, the community, the houses inside of the wall. That's what gives value to the wall. And the exterior is not always a reflection of the interior. I remember a lady my wife and I knew. And, you know, my wife homeschools. And you talk to this lady, I mean, she positioned herself as the homeschool expert. I mean, you talk to this lady, and it was like, I've got it all put together when it comes to homeschooling. And she was actually making my wife feel kind of bad, you know, and she was thinking like, oh, man, you know, I'm not doing that great of a job, you know. And I remember this lady one time invited us to her house, and she invited my wife to her house to show her, you know, her greatness when it comes to homeschooling. And my, you know, she's talking about how great, you know, she is and how wonderful she is and how smart she is and how, you know, brilliant her children are. And as she's talking, my wife picks up one of their, you know, workbooks from the previous year. And she picks up the one that has the name of the student who was her most studious, her smartest child. And they literally didn't make it halfway through the curriculum. I mean, the thing was a joke. I mean, my wife walks away from that thing herself like, this lady, you know, you can talk a lot, but if you don't actually get through the work, you didn't get through the work. You know, and this is your smartest child, supposedly, according to you. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Just because someone puts up a wall, just because someone says, hey, look how spiritual I am, look how much I've got it put together, look how great I am, look how successful I am, doesn't mean that the exterior wall is actually a reflection of what you have on the inside. See, the first statement, the first thing we need to understand is that the exterior does not always reflect the interior. Keep your place there in Matthew. We're going to come back to Matthew. Go back to Isaiah 22. I want you to notice this verse again. Isaiah 22, and look at verse number 10. Notice what he says. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem. Notice what they did. And the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. The exterior looks strong. The exterior looks good. But there was no inner strength. And I want to caution you this morning, and I want to encourage you this morning, to not build up the exterior at the expense of the interior. There's nothing wrong with having a strong wall. There's nothing wrong with having a strong exterior. But make sure that what people see on the outside also matches what's on the inside. See, in the Bible, there's always an emphasis on the interior versus the exterior. Let me show it to you. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Keep your place in Isaiah. You should have your place in Matthew. But go to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 2:28, the Bible says this, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision, which is of the heart, he says, not that which is of the letter. He said, but you want to worry. He said, don't worry about the outside. He said, you want to worry about the inside. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Amen. And see, when your goal is to receive praise of men, you will focus on the exterior. If your goal is to receive praise of men, you will focus on making sure like you've got it all put together on Facebook. You will make sure that you look like you got it put all together on Twitter or Instagram. I don't even know what half of those things are. You will make sure that everybody thinks your marriage is good. Everybody thinks your children are good. Everybody thinks you got to put it all together. But listen to me. When you build the exterior at the expense of the interior, it won't be very long before we all find out who you really are. All right, there in 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 16. Notice what Paul said. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, he says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The emphasis is on the interior. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 16. You're there in 2 Corinthians. You're going to go past Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Notice what the Bible says. But that he would grant you, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Notice what it says. Don't miss this. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Do you see that? The emphasis is in the Bible is on the interior. The emphasis in the Bible is on building up the inner man, building up the inward man, building up the hidden man. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. You're there in Ephesians. You're going to go past Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st Peter. All right? You can find Hebrews, James, 1st Peter, 1st Peter chapter 3. Now here's a text in reference to women. And I believe it applies to all of us. The spiritual application can be applied to all of us, but here he's making the application of women. 1 Peter 3:3, he says, whose adorning, let it not be that. Notice the emphasis, that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Notice, the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And here's the question that I have for you at Verity Baptist Church this morning. Is this, how much time do you emphasize on the interior versus the exterior? I mean, how much time do you spend in Bible reading as opposed to Facebook? How much time do you spend in prayer with God as opposed to YouTube? How much time do you spend strengthening and growing in the inner man, the hidden man, the man that nobody sees, as opposed to, because here's how most Christians live their life. They will tear down the inside to build up the exterior, and the exterior will look good, and the exterior will look strong, and the exterior will look like they've got it all put together, but the inside is just a bunch of trash, just a bunch of shambles. Just a broken bunch of broken down houses, broken down. You look in the inside and you say, there's no value to this city. The wall looks good, but there's nothing on the inside. The exterior is not always a reflection of the interior. Write down this point. Here's a second statement. Number two, the exterior will one day expose your interior. I said, number one, the exterior does not always reflect the interior. But number two, the exterior will one day expose your interior. Can you make your way back to Isaiah 22? Notice our passage. Notice what the Bible says. Look at verse 5. Isaiah 22 and verse 5. For it is a day of trouble. Do you see that? He says, it is a day of trouble and of treading down. He says, there's coming a day when trouble, the word trouble in our Bibles is used synonymously with tribulation, with trials. He says it's a day of trials. He said it's a day of trouble. It's a day, notice, of treading down, meaning someone's going to walk on you, tread on you, march on you, and of perplexity, meaning confusion, notice, by the Lord God. Do you know that God allows days of trouble to come in our lives? That often God will allow a day of treading down and a day of perplexity. Often it is the hand of God that brings you to the place of confusion where you say, I'm not really sure what's going to happen next. I'm not really sure what the next step is. I'm not really sure where we're going to go from here. Often it is God who allows that. Notice what he says, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision. Notice, don't miss this, breaking down the walls. You see that? Of the crying of the mountains. Elam bare the quiver with the chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. Notice verse 7. And it shall come to pass that by the choicest valley shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. Now notice, when they show up to fight, when they show up to battle, when they show up to try to break you down and tear you down and destroy you. Notice verse 8. And he, now the he there is referring to the Lord. The he there is referring to God. And he discovered the covering of Judah. God used this military to come against Israel, the choicest horsemen and the chariots to come against the city. But he did that he might discover the covering of Judah. Here's what that means. He's going to remove the veil. He's going to look underneath. He said, you've got a veil, you've got a cover, you've got something that you're showing the world. But it says in verse number 8, and he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou just look in that day, notice, to the armor of the house of Hor. He said, in that day, we're going to actually look at the armor. We're going to actually look at your strength. We're going to actually look at what you've got. Look at verse 9. Ye have seen also the breaches. The word breaches means a gap in the wall, a barrier. A gap in the fence, a gap in the defense. He says, we started to break down the wall and we started to look through inside. Notice what he said. He said, you have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And he says, when we broke down the walls, when we began to breach up the fence, we began to poke holes in the exterior and look inside. He said, you know what we saw? We saw that you have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, the houses have you broken down to fortify the wall. He said, when we broke down the wall, we realized that what you had on the inside was not as valuable as what it looked like on the outside. See, you need to understand this. And go back to Matthew chapter number 16. Let me make a couple of spiritual points, and then I'll make the application. When our Lord Jesus Christ walked on his earth, there was a lot of questions about who he was. Some men believed on him. Some men did not know what to believe about him. It's highlighted in Matthew 16. Look at verse number 13. Matthew 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked this question. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Look at verse 14. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, a lot of people think you're a lot of different people. A lot of people believe a lot of different things about you, Jesus. They've heard your preaching. They've seen the miracles. They've seen your work. They've seen the things you've done. And they have a lot of questions about who you are. Now, keep your finger there in Matthew 16. We're going to come right back to it, all right? But go to Matthew 27. I want you to notice something. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And they hung him on a cross. And when Jesus hung on that cross, all question of who he truly was done away. In fact, the centurion, a Roman soldier, said this, Matthew 27, look at verse 54. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, notice, watching Jesus do what? Watching Jesus on the cross, watching Jesus die. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, notice what he said. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. See, when Jesus walked this earth, people had questions. Who is this man? Who is this guy? Is he John the Baptist come back from the dead? Is he Jeremiah? Is he Elias? Is he one of the prophets? But when he hung on that cross, the Bible tells us the centurion looked at him and said, no. The cross has exposed who this man truly is. The cross has showed us who this guy really is. He said, truly, this is the Son of God. Amen. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, here's what's interesting about that. Go back to Matthew 16. Look at verse 24. Jesus said unto his disciples, Matthew 16, verse 24. Remember, just earlier we saw that he asked the question, who do men say that I am? But in Matthew 16, 24, later on in their conversation, he says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, notice, and take up his cross and follow me. You know that one day you'll hang on a cross? You know that one day God has said, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you must take up your cross. Now look, your cross may not be a literal cross like that of our Savior. Your cross may be persecutions. Your cross may be your friends and family attacking you for the beliefs you have or the church you go to. Your cross may be protesters. Your cross may be the trials and tribulations that come upon Christians. I mean, the Bible says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Your cross may be a health issue. Your cross may be a financial issue. Your cross may be marital problems. Your cross may be a child that goes wayward. Your cross may be a child that gets sick. I don't know what your cross is. Here's what I do know, that there are trials and tribulations that come upon all of us. And one day, that cross is going to expose. Listen to me. That cross, here's what I know about my life. One day there's a cross coming, and I'm going to hang on it, and that cross is going to expose me for who I am. And that cross is coming for you, and it will expose you. And one day when the trials come, and one day when the persecutions come, and one day when the media comes, and one day when the trials and tribulations of this world come on you, that cross is going to break down the exterior, and we're all going to see who you really are. See, the exterior does not always reflect the interior, but the exterior will one day expose the interior. What are we going to see on that day? Listen to me. There's coming a day when a big bad wolf's going to come, and he's going to huff, and he's going to puff, and he's going to blow that wall down. And we will see whether you built up the exterior at the expense of the interior. Or we will see that maybe your exterior wall wasn't that elegant. And maybe your exterior wall wasn't that pretty. And maybe your exterior wall wasn't that impressive. But inside, there's a strong... Here's all I'm saying. When the trials come, make sure you've got houses that are as strong as the wall is pretty. Make sure there is something of value in the inside. Make sure that the inner man has been strengthened. Make sure that the hidden man has been strengthened. Make sure that there is something of value on the inside. Let me speak to some of you. We've got several men in our church right now that are being trained for future ministry. They're going to go out and be pastors someday or missionaries someday. Let me speak to those of you that are going to be pastors someday. Let me speak to your wives, those of you that are married to men who will be pastors or missionaries someday. Listen to me. One day you're going to leave this church, and Lord willing, you're going to go to some town where there is no church, or at least no good church, and you're going to plant a church in that city. Or you're going to go out to a mission field. or you're going to go out to a foreign field. And listen to me, when you get there, that community is not going to be impressed with how good-looking you are or how pretty you are or how good-looking or pretty you think you are. They're not going to be impressed with a pretty tie. They're not going to be impressed with well-set hair. They're not going to be impressed with the fact that you shop at Nordstrom's versus JCPenney's. They're not going to be impressed with the fact that you shine your shoes and you've got shiny Stacey Adams. They're not going to be impressed with the brand car you drive. They're going to be impressed with whether or not you've got something that's real on the inside. They're going to be impressed with the interior. They're going to be impressed. Listen to me. When you go out into that church and you go out into that ministry and you start leading men and women and children and families, and all of a sudden the media turns on you. And all of a sudden your church people are watching you on the local news being made fun of and mocked. All of a sudden your church people are reading about you on the newspaper. All of a sudden, they're seeing you not only in local news, but national news and international news. Listen to me. They're not going to need a 30-year-old man to stand up behind the pulpit and say, I don't know what we're going to do next. I'm scared. Is the sky falling? No, they need somebody to stand up and say, everything's all right in my Father's house. They need somebody to stand up and be strong and courageous and say, hey, I talked to God and it's all right. I've talked to Jesus and it's fine. And they need somebody who's been doing that and talking with heaven for years and years and years and years and years and then decide on the day of the protest that I better read my Bible more than two times. Then decide on the day that the media turned on us that I better get my devotional life fixed. They've been preparing on the inside and saying, I am on the outside what I say I am on the inside. Here's a question I have for you. When your wall is breached, what will we see? When the exterior comes down, when the facade comes down, are we going to be impressed with what we saw? See, one day we're going to get past what you show us about your marriage, and we'll see how strong your marriage truly is. One day, we're going to look past what you tell us about your child rearing, and we will see how much of a parent you actually were. One day, the cross will come, and you will hang on it, and it will expose us, and we will say, truly, that is the Son of God, or we will say, he's a thief and a robber. He's a liar and a hypocrite. He built up the exterior at the expense of the interior. I said, number one, the exterior does not always accurately reflect the interior. Number two, the exterior will one day expose your interior. Number three, can you make your way back to Matthew 23? Number three, the exterior should be an outflow of the interior. See, when in Bible times and even in times here in American history, people would go to lands and they would find valleys and they would find resources there, like a river or a lake or something, and they would say, hey, there's something to this. We might be able to settle down here. And here's what they would do. People would begin to settle there. They would begin to build houses there. They would begin to farm in those areas, and maybe other people would come, and they would begin to plant, and a community would begin to develop. And then maybe an enemy would come. Here in America, might have been Indians coming to attack a group of settlers. An enemy, a foreign country might have came. And here's what people realize. They realize what we have here is of some value. What we have here is actually something worth fighting for. What we have here, we've worked hard to get. We need to defend the community that we've established here. So let's build a wall to defend what we already have. See, the wall is an outgrowth. Here's what nobody did. No pilgrim came to America, found a piece of land, and said, let's build a huge wall, and once we built the wall, then we'll see if we can establish a community here. The wall doesn't come before the city. The wall is an expression of the city. The wall comes as an outflow of the city. And in the same way, our exterior should be an outflow of the interior. See, we focus on the exterior. We focus on what people see. We focus on what people think. We focus on making sure, well, they need to know that I'm this or I'm that or I'm not this or I'm not that. But listen to me. Your exterior should be an outflow of your interior. Notice what Jesus said, Matthew 23. Look at verse 26. Thou blind Pharisee. Notice what he says. Cleanse first. You see that? Cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. There's nothing wrong with the outside being clean also. He said the outside should be clean. The outside should be right. But he says, make sure you give the priority first to cleanse that which is inside, and then that the outside of them may be clean also. Go back to Isaiah 22. Look at verse number 10. See, the problem is they did not look to God. Are you there in Isaiah 22? Look at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 10. Isaiah 22 and verse 10, the Bible says this. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have ye broken down to fortify the wall. Notice verse 11. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls of the water of the old pool. Here's what he's saying. You made sure that you took care of the fact that you've got water for a siege. Because he says there's a military outside of your gates, and you're not coming in or out. And he said, you made sure that you had enough water to get you through this long siege. Notice, but you have not looked unto, verse 11. You made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But notice what he says. But you have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. He said, you made sure that the water was taken care of. You brought these waters together. You brought the resources together. But you didn't look at the God that gave you the waters to begin with. I mean, do you understand? That's what he's saying. Look at verse 11. You made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you have not looked unto the maker thereof, the maker of the water, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. Notice verse 12. In that day, in what day? The day the walls came down, the day the wolf came, the day the protesters came, the day the persecution came, the day the health went down. Notice, in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. He said, on that day, you shouldn't have been tearing down the inside to build up the exterior. He said, you should have got on your knees and got right with God. He said, you should have started fasting. He said, you should have started praying. He said, you should have started doing these things that they did in the Old Testament, the mourning and the weeping and the calling upon the Lord. He said, that's what you should have done. But he said, here's the problem. You worried more about the exterior than the interior. The exterior should be an outflow of the interior. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, this is a verse I often get asked questions about, and I'd like you to see it. See, the emphasis when it comes to the Word of God is the interior first. God always tells us to work on the interior and let the exterior be an outflow of the interior. Philippians 2:12 says this, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. You got 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 12, I want you to see it. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, Philippians 2:12, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. I want you to notice what he says. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you see that? He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And sometimes people will bring this verse to me and say, see, the Bible says that salvation is by works. And listen to me, when you've got, 20 scriptures that say clearly salvation is not of works, and you got one verse that mentions works and salvation together, be careful that you take the one scripture. You might just be looking at it wrong. And I want you to notice what the verse says. He says, work out your own salvation. You know what that means? Salvation is already on the inside. He said, you already got saved on the inside. He said, now I want you to work that out. And here's what I want you to understand. The exterior wall should be an outflow. The exterior should be an outflow of the interior. Everything in the Christian life is inside working out. Salvation is inside working out. Every religion in the world will tell you salvation is outside working in. I go to church, that's outside. I get baptized, that's outside. I go to a confessional booth, that's outside. I repent of my sins, that's outside. I get catechized, that's outside. I take communion, that's outside. All outside, inside goes to hell. See, salvation is inside working out. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Salvation is inside working out. False religion says, no. Salvation is outside working in. But listen to me. Your salvation ought to be working out. It ought to be coming out. The exterior ought to be an outflow of the interior. But listen to me, everything in the Christian life is inside working out. Salvation is inside working out. Let me give you this one. Sanctification is inside working out. You don't get right with God by doing a bunch of out exterior things. You don't get right with God by having some fundamental Baptist list of, well, as long as I do this, and as long as I do that, and as long as I've got the right length here on my skirt, or the right tie there, or as long as I do X, Y, and Z, I'll be right with God. No, no, no. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit that He does on the inside. You get right with God on the inside. You decide to love God on the inside. You get this filling of the Spirit on the inside, and it works its way out. You get saved inside out. You get sanctified inside out. Let me say this. A successful life is inside out. You don't, listen to me. You don't become a good dad by doing a bunch of things. You get right in your heart towards your children. The Bible tells us your heart is turned towards your children. You don't have a good marriage because, well, we take a 2-week vacation to Hawaii every year, and we do this and we do that, and as long as we meet all these criteria, no, no, no. It starts on the inside. Successful life starts inside, and it works itself out. I remember many years ago, I was talking to my good friend, Pastor Anderson, and we were talking about ministry, and he made a statement to me, and I thought it was an amazing statement. It really made an impact on my life. We were talking on the phone, and he said, I spend less time preparing for my sermons and more time preparing myself to preach the sermons. I thought that was an amazing statement. Here's what he's saying. I'll preach better if I focus on the interior, and don't worry so much on the exterior. The sermon may not be as well organized as another guy might preach it. The sermon may not be as catchy. It may not have as nice of an illustration. I might not have 3 points in a poem. But if my heart's right and if the Spirit of God is on my life, it'll do what it needs to do. Amen. See, success in your life is inside working out. Sanctification is inside working out. Salvation is inside working out. The exterior should be an outflow of the interior. So here's a question I have for you. What area of your life are you focused on the exterior at the expense of the interior? What part of your life, when the war comes, when the trials come, when the tribulation comes, when they break down the walls and they expose you for who you really are, what part of your life are you worried about? People finding out who I really am. Because the problem with Christianity today is that we have a lot of nice walls and not very strong homes. We have a lot of show on the exterior and no strength in the interior. Some of you need to go home and start working on your marriage. Some of you need to go home and actually start communicating with your wife. Actually start communicating with your husband. Actually start building a friendship there. And a base there. Some of you need to go home and actually start. You say, well, I'm a strict disciplinarian, and I'm going to make sure my kids are. And listen, I'm all for that. I'm glad your kids are disciplined. And they ought to say, yes, sir. And they ought to say, yes, ma'am. And they ought to say, no, sir. And they ought to say, no, ma'am. And they need to follow orders, and they need to do as they're told. But listen, make sure that you're not just, you know, they're not just in boot camp at your house, and that they're actually developing a relationship with mom and dad. When my children are no longer in my home, I want, you know, and I don't have authority over them to tell them what they can or cannot do, I hope we're still friends. I hope they like spending time with me. I hope they like spending time with my wife. And you say, well, I'm going to make sure they're disciplined. But are you discipling? But are you developing a relationship? Some of you need to be less worried about making sure you look like you're financially sound and just go home and start budgeting a little bit. And go home and start trying to figure out how to save some money. And maybe you need to consolidate some debt, and maybe you need to get rid of some debt. And it's not as important that you look successful, that you be successful. See, we're so worried about, do I look the part? Do I act the part? Do people think I am the part? Hey, are you the part? Are you who you say you are? Because look, there's coming a day when we will be exposed for who you truly are. And it might be the judgment seat of Christ. But there's a day coming. When the persecution comes, when the protesters come, when the trials come, when the walls come down, and we're exposed for who we really are. So how much time do you spend on the interior? How much time do you spend on the hidden man? Don't answer this question out loud, but how much time did you spend in the Word this week? How much time did you spend in time, in prayer, in communion with God this week? Did you spend more time this week getting ready for church physically than you did getting your heart ready for church spiritually? I'm just saying, how's the inside? We all put up walls. And to an extent, we should. We all put up a facade of what we want people to see. But listen to me. Make sure that what you have on the inside is as valuable as what you show on the outside. Make sure my goal in life is to get to the end of my life and that people might say, he wasn't that intelligent, he wasn't that good looking, he wasn't that sophisticated, he wasn't that talented, but he was who he said he was. Because they looked at Jesus and said, truly, that is the Son of God. And would to God they would say that of you and I. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.